On today's playbook, Coach P sits down with powerhouse loan officer Amy Goss. Based in the Southeast, Amy closed over $70 million in production and 245 units in 2024, and was recognized by the Scotsman Guide as a top 20 VA loan originator nationwide. Her journey is one of grit, resilience, and fierce determination. From Marine Corps boot camp, where she doubled down and refused to quit, to becoming one of Guild's most trusted voices in veteran lending, Amy's story is more than numbers. It's about leading with heart, building trust, and getting families, especially our veterans, into homes of their own. Get ready for an episode that's equal parts fire and purpose. This is Elevate, and this is Amy Goss.
Elevate your business, starting now.
All right, we've got Amy Goss on our Elevate podcast. I'm so excited to have you here today. She's been at Guild for 3 years. She's been averaging over $50 million. She's also been one of the top 25 in VA lending. Where did you win that award, Amy? Who's that with?
That is the Scotsman's Guide. And that was for this year most recently.
Awesome. And you've been doing that pretty regularly every year, correct?
Consistently. I've been in the top, I feel like the top 50 year over year.
It's great. And I can't wait. We're going to talk about that and how you've done that and where this comes from and talk a little bit about your life. But one thing I know about you is you're one of the hardest working powerhouses I know in the industry. And I love seeing you every time we get together. You are so much fun. So let's get started. Let's start out with, how did you get in the business? What was your first role, right? And if you were to go back, what would you do differently?
Okay, so I really started with a branch manager position at BB&T, and that really catapulted my lending stuff. Just because I was doing a lot of, you know, business loans and home equity loans and things like that. And I got a huge foundation there. And I really feel like, and then I went into mortgage shortly after that, just because I wanted to do only mortgages. And then I left the bank and went to an actual mortgage company, and the rest was history. So as far as doing anything different, I actually always tell people when they want to get into the mortgage business, I started from the bottom. And so, I mean, I know it doesn't sound like a branch manager position was the bottom, but prior to that, I was a teller at a credit union. And, you know, I worked at a financial institution. And in high school, I worked at a mortgage company. So I've just always been around that, but I started at the bottom. And so I don't know that I would change anything, because I think that it has made me who I am today, the way that I started. So
you learned a lot. I think you're missing one part of your story, because I think there was someone in your life, right? That kind of that might have helped you or gave, because most people, you know, we don't go to college or whatever we do. We don't say, okay, I'm going to be a mortgage professional, right? But who was in your life throughout your life that kind of opened that idea to you?
So when my mom is a mortgage lender and has been for, I believe, 38-ish years. And she is one of the top in the country. She'll never admit it. But she still does very, very well. And I got to grow up with her. And I mean, for as long as I could remember, I believe maybe when I was 5 years old, she was on the road doing mortgages. And when you went to people's houses, and I used to sit at the table with her and write up the 1003s with, you know, a pen. And so I got to, when I was old enough and it was legal, I started working at the mortgage company that she was at as a receptionist. And every day after school, I would go there and work, and I would help go there on the weekends because she would meet with clients on the weekends. And I would type up all of the 1003s for her and talk to clients and talk to real estate agents. And it really came full circle. Just, you know, now that I'm doing it and have been for the last 10 years or so, just because I was able to listen to her and how she spoke to people and how she treated people. And I try to emulate that now in my career and have done that. So I say that it runs through my veins when people ask me how I got into this.
I mean, literally, like it's in your family, right? Another thing that I think is so interesting is your military background. So I want to talk a little bit about that. Tell us, you know, like you were young when you decided to go into the military. So how did that happen? So what did you decide? What military branch did you go into? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Of course. So I was 18. Well, I was 17 when I graduated high school. And I did not like school. And so I did what we're supposed to do when we're graduating high school and you're applying to colleges and doing all the things. And I really didn't want to go to college. So I agreed because my mom really didn't want me to join the military. And so I went for a semester. And at the end of that semester, I told my mom, I said, Mom, I can't do this. And I have joined the Marine Corps because I was 18. So I could sign for myself then. So I waited till I turned 18 to do that. And she was just devastated. And so I left for Marine Corps boot camp in January of 2000 and spent, 5 months there. Had to do boot camp almost twice. And we can, I was talking about that later, but it was definitely life-changing for me. So, and not because I needed it, but because I just desired something different and I didn't want to go to college. So.
And I mean, that part of what you did is part of leadership, right? Even at a young age, to make a decision like that and not be concerned about everybody else and what they're going to think, but being true to yourself, right? And making that decision, because it had to have been hard calling your parents and telling them you were leaving college to go to the Marine Corps. And I'm even more curious, like out of all the different ones you could have joined, why did you choose the Marine Corps? Because to me, that is like, in my mind, one of the hardest ones to do. So why did you choose? Yeah, why did you do that?
So there's actually two reasons. The first reason is because my brother was in the Air Force and I definitely wasn't going to do what he was doing. And then I wanted to wear the dress blues, which is their dress uniform. I had gone to a Marine Corps ball and there was a female there with dress blues on. And I was like, wow, I really like those. And so I went to the recruiting office that she worked at. And, they always ask you, like, why do you want to join? Why do you want to be a Marine? And I just said, well, I'll be honest, I really just want to earn the dress blues. And so that's what I did. And that was my goal, being and when I was in boot camp and you have to take your boot camp picture, they put like a dress blue top on you and you're not supposed to smile. And I smiled so big. I had the biggest smile on my face. I mean, obviously I got in trouble for that, but it was great because I was
Amy getting in trouble.
So it was good. But that's actually why I really joined. And then, of course, the bigger purpose came after that. But
that makes sense with the dress blues because you were on stage last year before. At our sales rally. And wow, you came out and you were dressed very nicely.
Thank you. I will
never forget watching you come out with those high heels. I was like, how is she doing that? I mean, I would be breaking my ankles if I was walking out on those.
And I had to walk out fast too, Paula.
So. You did. But you looked great.
Dance a little.
Yeah, you looked great.
Thank you.
I know when we were talking before, we were talking about when you were in boot camp, because that has to be one of the most difficult times when you go in the military. That is a time to break you down. Who can do it? Who's going to move forward? And it's super challenging. And what happened when you finished the first round?
So I went in January and I was supposed to graduate in, January, February. I feel like I was supposed to graduate at the beginning of April, or the end of March. And well, it's 12 weeks. So whatever, it was 12 weeks and then I was supposed to graduate and I did not qualify in the rifle range. And so when you're in recruit training and you're a female, they don't pick up as many females. So you have to go all the way back to the beginning. So I basically did boot camp twice and because I went all the way back to like week 3 or 4 and then had to go all the way through. And I finally graduated in the middle of May. So I was there for, it was just over 5.5 months at Parris Island.
What was your mindset like when you got to that place where they said you had to come back and do it again?
So I wasn't giving up. I wasn't leaving there, not a Marine. I was determined. I mean, unless they like just said, okay, there's no more tries for you, you have to leave. I wasn't leaving. No matter how, I mean, if I had to do it a third time, I probably would have, because I wasn't going to leave there without an Eagle open anchor. And I just knew that that's what I wanted. And I went there saying that I was going to do it. And there were people that told me that they didn't think that I could do it. And so that gave me a little bit more motivation because, you know, I was silly and didn't really take anything seriously. And they, you know, they were like, oh, you're never going to make it. And so that kind of motivated me to do that. So I wasn't giving up.
And I think, you know, if people were to look from the outside and they look at Amy, I mean, I think a lot of people would say, you know, she's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And they may underestimate the heart you have and how, just like what you just said, like, I am not going to lose. I am not leaving here without finishing. And that has to have transferred over into your business, because this industry, obviously, especially the last 3 years, have been really challenging. So how have you taken what you learned or that drive that you had to finish and complete, you know, what you did in the military at a very young age, where a lot of kids can't do that, and brought that into the mortgage world?
So I think it's really just about determination, consistency, grit, you know, just the, like, not being afraid to do the heavy lifting. And whether, you know, you have no employees or you have a team of 10 people, I just feel like that if you're willing to put in the work and you're consistent and you show up and you do it, and not being afraid. A lot of people come into this business, and even seasoned people. I mean, I get afraid sometimes when, you know, we get market updates and you're, you know, and the rates have changed, but that uncertainty just has to translate into adapting to that change and to the uncertainty or whatever's happening. And I really think that boot camp did that for me. It just gave me the ability to push through things.
Right. It trained you, trained mm-hmm. your mindset, not just physically, but your mindset for what's to come. I mean, think about ultimately protecting, you know, the United States. And you're not always going to know what's going to happen out right. in the field, right? So it was a great
exactly.
training ground.
Well, and mindset is huge. And I think that's, you know, that's something I tell my children. That's something that we get told. But mindset is huge. You know, how you wake up in the morning and come to work every day, especially in this industry, is really going to have an effect on how you perform. So.
Well, coming from that military background, you've brought that into your business and you've really focused on veterans in your area. So talk to us about that. Like, obviously you are a veteran, so I can see why you'd be interested in that. But how did you get in and really acclimate yourself with this area and really focus your business in this area?
So we were fortunate enough before I got out in 2005, but my husband got orders here in 2009. And we were fortunate enough that when he got out, we stayed here, and I started my career here, you know, at the bank, and I finished getting my master's degree, and that's when I got hired as the branch manager. The banking world didn't really get me involved in the community as much from the beginning, but I just started getting involved in everything, anything that I could be involved in, you know, whether it was Rotary or Kiwanis or anything that was in the town or events. I would sponsor all of the events, just things like that, that I could get involved and people would get to know me. And then when I went to the mortgage company, like, and just only was doing mortgages, the primary source of business, most of the clients were VA clients. And so the ability to connect with them was easy just because I am a veteran, and there was this trust and this bond that I could relate to them, just because I've been there. You know, I know all about the documents they have to send. I know if they're going to need, you know, letters from their command and how to get them and what they look like. And so it made it a lot easier. And then, you know, the trust that comes with that, they're like, oh, you are a veteran. And there are some people that are veterans that don't do veterans the way that you're supposed to, but I just enjoy educating them and, you know, having a VA loan myself and little things like that, where you're able to educate people on your own experiences, I feel like just makes it easy for me to make that 80% of my business.
Tell us, give us a couple reasons, like, because you know them really, really well. What are some of the great things about a VA loan?
So I think the biggest thing is the 100% financing piece of it, and not financing of closing costs and things like that, but financing without having to do a down payment. And for that, because a lot of people don't have 5% down or 20% down or whatever the case may be, and you're welcome to put a down payment on a VA loan. It reduces the funding fee if you have one. But the 100% financing, I feel like, is the biggest thing. And then, you know, you can use it more than one time. So it's not something that you just use one time and then you can't use it again. You can use it over and over. You can have more than one at one time. There's a lot of nuances with VA loans. And I think, you know, if you find somebody that is very familiar with them, that you're going to do what's best for you. Because I've heard people tell clients, oh, a VA loan isn't going to be best for you. And, you know, and then when I get them on the phone, I'm like, well, why would they tell you that? You know, there's no reason why it wouldn't be the best, especially, you know, sometimes if your credit isn't perfect, or they're very forgiving, because the goal is to get veterans in houses. So, you know, I just think that's really the biggest part of it.
Great. So you've been at Guild for 3 years, and you came in and got coached. We had some one-on-one coaching, you and I.
We did.
Which was great. What drew you in? Why did you decide to come into coaching?
So I really just wanted to start because I love just doing loans, but obviously, and I can do a lot of them, and that's easy for me. And so I wanted to start to grow my business. I've never been in charge of any loan officers. I've never, and not that I can't be in charge of people or lead people, but I just had never had any, I wanted to grow my branch. I wanted to start, you know, having people in my branch that I could help do loans, that, you know, are newer loan officers. And so I figured the only way to do that and to kind of organize that from being a really high producing branch manager to managing others and doing both at the same time, and I needed help. So that individual coaching that I got from you was where that all stemmed from. So
yeah, because it's challenging. I think in our industry, a lot of top producers become branch managers, and we don't get taught, you know, there isn't a path typically. You just become a branch manager, right? And so it is challenging to go, I'm a top producer and I'm going to manage and I'm going to recruit and I'm going to grow my team, you know, and I'm going to train. Like, how do I do all of that and still maintain my own production? So what were some things that you've been managing now for how long?
Gosh, I feel like it's been, so first, probably a year and a half. I think it's been a year and a half. This year, it'll be 2 years in the summer.
And what did you take from coaching to help you with managing and growing your branch?
I feel like it just gave me some direction and some structure to deal with that part of it and kind of prioritize my focus. And what I mean by that is, you know, whether we're doing events as a branch or, you know, are we going to do an event every month? Are we going to do an event every 3 months, you know, and how to integrate where I went from just having all Amy's business to now I have to share that with everybody else. So I feel like it helped me become unselfish. Not that I was ever selfish, but it helped me be less selfish with my business and really help others grow.
Yeah. And that's part of our own growth, right?
That's right.
You know, you're a top producer, you learn these skills, and it's like, how do we transfer those skills and help other people grow? Which I think for me has always been like the greatest satisfaction is to see other people grow as a manager. So, and I know you had, I remember when we were coaching, I could not believe how many events you did. I remember saying, okay, I think you need to write these down and do we really need to do that many? Because I mean, every week you were doing something. So because you know, when you're managing too, like you've got to really focus on time.
Right.
So did you pare any of that down and restructure your schedule a little bit?
We really did. And I think a lot of that too was fortunately, the market kind of shifted. So it gave us an opportunity to really scale back. And then refocus on what events were really not the most return on investment, because it's not necessarily that, but were the most successful. And, you know, the most people came to, and you had, you know, interactions and things like that. So we really, really scaled back. I feel like maybe four a year now. And there's little ones that, you know, we'll do stuff with the Board of Realtors or, you know, with individual real estate agents, like business partners. But like the big ones, we've scaled it down to probably, I'd say probably two or three.
But it's great, because part of being someone in the community is being visible, right? And that's one way to start building relationships, especially if you're new in the business.
Exactly.
So I know one thing, you are really good at building your relationships with your referral partners and your clients. They love you. So how are you training and talking to your current loan officers in your branch? How are you teaching them to do the same thing? What are some things that you tell them they need to do to really build and grow those relationships?
Well, I think the first thing, like you said, Paula, is just being in front of people. And I think you have to be careful of participating in like non-income producing things. And what I mean by that is when you're going to, you know, it's important to volunteer in the community and do those things. But when you're doing it so much that you can't be attentive to your phone, and still being like speed to lead. I like homebuyer seminars. So when you're getting in front of a big group of people and you get to speak to them, or a group of military members, or, you know, just first time home buyers. Those are the types of things I feel like that if you can get a small group together, if your real estate partner wants to do a class with you, those are the things that I feel like are going to have more of an effect. Or just putting on a Guild hoodie and going out and doing a 5K, and there's, you know, 300 people there, and they're like, oh, Amy, you know, and so people see you and see that you're participating. And I just encourage them to do that. Go out and be around people. Go sit at the bar, and you don't have to drink. Go have an appetizer after work and, you know, grab a beer or grab a Sprite or something. And just talk to people, because they're going to ask you, put your name tag on, have a Guild shirt on, and just sit at the bar and see how many people ask you what you do. And, you know, because people start small talk. And I just really feel like that has been more effective than, you know, maybe serving on a lot of boards, or because that you're in a closed area with a very small group of people. And I know, because I was involved in everything when I first came into the business. And as I started to get busier and my business started to grow, I really scaled back, because I started getting anxious in these board meetings, because I was like, guys, my phone's ringing. And then I started losing leads because I couldn't answer my phone, and I would text and be like, I'll call after this meeting. And so it became not effective. And so I just try to encourage them to get out there and be around people, but make sure that you're answering your phone. Show up at work. You know, keep up with your clients. Get involved. I mean, Guild had so many resources that we, you know, all of the things that you can do to keep up with your clients without having to physically do it. Do as much of that as you can. And that way you're holding on to your leads when you do get them.
Right. I think I've talked a lot in our branch about, you know, our Salesforce app, and now that we can send a letter. So a couple of weekends ago, I was out playing golf, because that's what I love to do. And a realtor asked me for a letter, and I was able just to pull up my phone, grab that, and send it right then. And I agree with you. It's like, you know, in the past, clients have always wanted us to respond quickly, right? We've always had to do that in our business. But it created a lot of stress for us, right? Because it's almost like I can't do anything. Where is the work-life balance when I have to like leave what I'm doing, go home, and give the letter? And today, I think that's what technology has done, is it's Absolutely. Helped us have some work-life balance, but it is also allowing us to respond quickly, because we know if we don't, they're gone. Whether it's
That's exactly right.
a lead, I mean, realtor sends you a lead, and if you don't call them back right away, and then you do, and then they're like, oh yeah, well, I already went somewhere else. And you're just like, wow. You know what I mean? So it is speed to lead. That's super important. And then follow Definitely. Up, right?
Well, exactly. And that is where we have tools here that can help with that too. So,
yeah. So lots of tools, lots of support. Here's my last question for you. Tell us a time in your life where you had to make a shift. You know, with that shift, because you made that shift, it elevated your game. It could be something personal or something with work. So you made a shift, and it truly elevated whatever you were doing.
Wow.
Is that a good one?
Okay. So I feel like that we've kind of touched on this a little bit, because I think the biggest thing with that is that was the, as a young adult, was the whole thing with boot camp. And just really wanting to finish and wanting to, you know, because I, what was I going to do after? What am I going to go back to my hometown and tell them that I failed? And, you know, that was a huge deal for me. I think the other thing was coming into leaving the bank, leaving a salary, and really just wanting to do mortgages. And I, my manager at the time told me, she said, you, because, you know, I got told, in my, like, after the military, I got told, well, you don't have enough experience. And all I was trying to do was get into the mortgage business. And you don't have enough experience. And so finally, I got licensed and I called the owner of a mortgage company and said, I just need you to give me a chance. And he said, what are you bringing to the table? And I said, me. Just let me, give me a chance and let me prove myself. And, you know, I'll never forget it. They told me, don't go after all these big agents. Don't, you need to go after the new people. And I think that's just because they were afraid, because when you have passion for this job and you're hungry and you really want it, he gave me a chance. And I think I was number one at that company within the first 18 months. And my, I didn't even have an office. I sat in a closet with somebody. There were two desks in this little water closet and my desk faced the wall. And so I had to meet clients and like other people's offices, and but I didn't care. I didn't let it stop me. I didn't let, my mindset was I'm going to outproduce everybody here. And I did. And so I just feel like that is one of those things that, again, you change, you wake up in the morning and your mindset is I'm going to go take over the world and nobody's going to tell me that I can't do it. And that's just what I do every day. And now I love like encouraging other people, especially here at this company. And, you know, there's such a an awesome group of people, and to be able to like encourage everybody or call and ask for help on a deal and know that they're really truly wanting to help you, and then refer loans all over the United States and know that these loan officers have your back. It's just, it, that was probably life-changing for me, besides like boot camp giving me the that determination, you know, and having to really fight through to prove myself, and then coming into the mortgage business on a wing and a prayer. Just praying that I was going to be as good as I said it was. And then, you know, here we are 10 years later.
I think that mindset of belief in yourself, right?
Yes.
You believed in yourself. And that's, I think we all have to have that. There are going to be times when people outside don't believe in what we want or who we are.
Correct.
But you got to have that strong belief, because it's got to start inside you first. And so going in there and saying, hey, what are you bringing to the table? I'm bringing myself and my determination, and yes, I'm going to win, right? I know I'm going to win. And then you did, you proved yourself. So
right.
I want to just thank you so much. You are so busy and you took time to be on this with me. I love watching you from afar. I'm on the West Coast. You're on the East Coast.
Yes.
But thank you for being a leader at this company, you know, you, and working with veterans, and being a lot of fun as well.
Well, and I thank you for having me, Paula, and I thank you for being a good friend, and I'm proud to be at Guild.
Thanks for listening to Elevate Your Business, a podcast from Elevate, the internal coaching program at Go Mortgage. Glad you could be here for today's playbook. If you want to check us out, head over to guildmortgage.com and click About Us to find Elevate Coaching. Have a question or want to keep the play going? Visit us and send a DM on Instagram at Elevate Mortgage Coaching, or leave a comment for us on YouTube. We're posting extra content, behind-the-scenes action, and everything you need to stay in the mortgage game. On Elevate Your Business, we share real stories and strategies from top producers to help you move forward. So ask yourself, what are you waiting for? It's time to elevate.
Guild Mortgage Company, NMLS identification number 3274, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, equal housing opportunity, equal opportunity employer, Arizona banking license number 0018883, licensed by the Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, Massachusetts mortgage lender and broker license number MC3274, licensed by the Mississippi Department of Banking and Consumer Finance, licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance, Nevada mortgage company number 1141, Oregon mortgage lending number NL176, Rhode Island licensed lender and third-party loan servicer. Guild Mortgage Company, 5887 Copley Drive, San Diego, California, 92111. For licensing, visit guildmortgage.com/licensing. All loans subject to underwriter approval. Terms and conditions apply. Subject to change without notice. Elevate is an internal Guild Mortgage Company coaching program and not a separate entity. Podcast content is provided for informational purposes and based on publicly available materials or tactics used in the industry. The views, strategies, or opinions discussed do not necessarily represent those of Guild Mortgage Company or its affiliates. Intended for mortgage industry professionals only.
Paula Nurschel, NMLS number 383396. Amy Goss, NMLS number 194181. Thank you for joining us on Elevate Your Business, a podcast for mortgage professionals brought to you by Elevate, the internal coaching program at Guild Mortgage.